Let's open with prayer. Thank you, Father, in heaven, for being here already. Thank you for your faithfulness. You promised that you will go with us into the end of the age, end of the world, those that are doing your will. And Lord, may we be found among those faithful to you. Thank you for the exhortation we heard this morning on faithfulness, being honest with our dealings, and just faithful to you, Lord. Also for the need for compassion, being bound with those that are bound. Thank you for that reminder. And Lord, I just ask that this could be a day of edification and exhortation, encouragement, and that we would walk closer with Jesus this coming week with you, O Lord, that we would truly be our Lord, not just a Savior, but a Lord and Savior. Thank you for each one that is here. I pray a blessing upon each one, and anoint our hearing, our speaking, Lord, that it could be in the fear of God and truly your word be from you. I pray for each one that can't be here, that you bless them, meet them where they're at, and touch their lives also. We pray for many around us that don't know you. I pray even for this coming week that we could be a channel of blessing to someone in need. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in the little things today and this week. We commit our time to you. I want to also lift up Sister Kay down in Haiti this morning, and Brother Barry and Julie and their family, and Matt and Dale and other families that are there. Would you encourage them? Each personnel there, we don't know exactly who else all is there, but you do, and I pray your protection upon them, Lord, as they're reaching out and serving in the midst of all the tragedy and the danger. I just ask you to give them a special blessing today, refreshment, Lord, from your spirit, Lord, and keep them by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Yes, well, I'm not Dale Miller. Look forward to having him here sometime. But he just got a call kind of later on Friday night. He said he just got word his father-in-law, I think he's from Kansas, passed away. So he is willing to come at a later date. He wants to, he has a desire to come and worship with us, meet with us. So trust that'll work out yet in the future here sometime. So, I was on for today, so it was worked out quite well just to ask him to come, but I guess the Lord allowed it to happen that it's not working out, so here I am. But we'll trust we have a blessed morning together. I'll just admit, I enjoy a smaller group like this. This is real. I just felt we had a good week the dedication week and last Sunday evening, all that. Those are special times, but really it's here on this level where the real life will happen, church life for the most part. So I trust we can just have compassion like we heard this morning and be a family, have a family atmosphere and be encouraged. Encourage one another. I had been going through the 1 John. I think I was like the last thing I talked about we discussed was in 1 John, like chapter 1, verse maybe 5. We talked about light. God is light, kind of what John was an old man by this time, and I find it a blessing to have his influence here amongst us. He's been a blessing in my life, just his word. He's an old man, and the older I get, I don't consider myself an old man yet. I don't know when that happens necessarily. But let's say like these 70, 80-year-old godly men that have walked with Jesus many years, that is such a blessing to have people like that. And I believe John was like that age. So even though he isn't here in body, but here, there's something about that experience, just that compassion, that tenderness that's been worked in his heart. It seems the Lord allows some of that personal touch somehow come through in the channels, the vessels he's used to bring his word here. And it's probably something that I think different churches, groups that they start, and the charity movement was one of it. There's not a whole lot of older men. And it brought just a sense of a lack and maybe instability at time. And but there's more of that now. It's been around for a number of years, and so that's just something I want to lift that up, that we appreciate the voices of the older ones that have walked with the Lord many years. And here, so this today we have Brother John here again. I think the first time he shared out of this book, from the beginning. That was from the beginning. What we have seen, we've looked upon, our hands have handled. He had front row seating, you could say, to the ministry of Jesus. How he touched him. He laid his head on his breast. He was very close to Jesus. He's one of the three of the what they call the inner circle there. So that that blessing, we're still reaping some of that blessing today, even as we look into the Word. He really, I believe, understood Jesus' heart in a lot of ways, heard his heartbeat, and it's still, this is actually, he's just Jesus coming forth again today. We wanted to start maybe in chapter 1, verse 7, we'll read unto verse 11 of chapter 2. Yes, let's read this together here. Why don't we all stand in respect for the Word of God as we read this? I can read it here. You can follow along. Verse 6 of chapter 1, 1 John. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Wow, what opportunity, what a potential. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I don't know if you noticed this as we read this, the word if was here quite often. And the term if, like if we say, or he that saith, I think that comes forth maybe about, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, about 6 times, if we say, or he that saith. So today we'd like to focus a little bit on the things we say versus just doing it. There's a big difference there of saying versus doing. Like our brother shared this morning, being faithful, being a good steward. There's one thing to say, yes, I'm employed at so-and-so place, but there's another thing to actually work there. Like the saying is, people have been asked, like, how many people work at Kime Lumber? About half. You know, have you ever heard that? How many people work here? Oh, about half. Half of the people are here. Some are just here. Maybe that's how the Lord feels at times in his kingdom. How many people are working for you? I don't know what he'd say. What would he say about Bethlehem? How many people are really sold out to him? How many Christians? So it's not in word only, but it's in deed and in truth. I remember reading this account quite some time ago, and I just came across it recently. I think it was Harry Ironside was told the story of someone translating the Word of God, the scriptures, it was in China. This was many years ago. And he had an eminent scholar that was helping him. And he asked, after a long period of time, they were going through the scriptures and quoting them. Then he asked him, what do you think? You want to become a Christian? He says, I'd like to meet one someday. All that he read and discussed, I'd like to meet one someday. And, the translator, I'm the Christian. Or he thought so. But he was picking up something that helper, there's some reality there. There's something actually that people do and how they live and maybe look and just act. That's how it should be. And evidently he wasn't seeing it. Maybe it was there, but he just didn't see it. So that can be that's a challenge for me. Today, I just want to really challenge myself. Another saying I came across, or maybe you've heard it already, it says it's useless to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere we walk. You know, and you probably, honestly, you might even do it right now with me. You know my life. But we just kind of tend to, depending how we know someone's life that's presenting the word, there's a tendency just maybe to, as we know him, faithfulness or unfaithfulness, we tend to deduct a little bit or take with a grain of salt. We just do. If the life is not intact, there's just something about it. It's still the word of God. But it's so important that the life backs up what is preached. That's why it's such a challenge for men, mortal men, to stand before other brothers and sisters. It's a deep challenge, and it's a serious thing. Hey, verse 6 here, it says, If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, I think it says that he also, in verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So there's deception. I'd just like us to see today, there's deception connected with saying and not doing. There's a deep deception connected with that. If we say that we have not sinned, we know enough, we're spiritual enough that we would never say, okay, we would admit we have sinned. But I think as we go through this, I trust we can see this is in this context. It's more than just having verse 9 about if we confess our sins just in our back pocket like people tend to do. It's kind of handy there. I can just kind of sin. I can just live my life. I always get that out of the back pocket, just kind of confess it. I don't think we read it. I believe we really read this closely, this whole context here. It's not for that. I believe the blood of Christ cleanses all sin. But in this context, it's actually in the context of an ongoing walking with, in the light, walking with Jesus and having a heart that is really sold out. Like we heard this morning, truly, he is our Lord and our Master. This is not for the flippant kind of casual lifestyle of I can kind of live my life and expect to fall and not really care so much. I always got this 1 John 1, I'll just 1 John 1, 9 it again. No big deal. Let's go have fun again. That's not what it's for. That's taking out of the context. And I also want to say that verse there is, if we confess our sins, it doesn't talk about excuses. The blood of Christ will never cleanse excuses. We just tend to, I'm wired like this. I can easily see the faults in others, sins they should confess. But for me, it might not be so much of a sin. For others, it's anger. For me, it's just I'm being assertive, you know. Others are impatient, but I'm just being, you know, right up. I'm just kind of keeping my sons in line or my daughter in line. Others are, for others, that would be impatience, but I'm just kind of keeping them in check, you know? You know what I mean, that we just tend to minimize our own sins and call them and have excuses, call them weakness or faults. Other people's faults are pretty major. So I just want to turn this inward spotlight on myself this morning that I don't want to, I truly want to have this reality in my life of calling sin, sin. I wrote this in my Bible years ago here. This, I have an old Thompson Chain reference I've had for many years. Sometime, I don't know, years ago, I wrote this down. The blood always cleanses us from sin. It doesn't cleanse excuses. That's the difference between David and Saul. Saul was just kind of excusing himself, always trying to look good. Just make me look good, Samuel, is what he was saying in essence. Just make me have honor amongst other people. David was confronted. He was, I am the man. No excuses. So, yeah. But the truth, the good news is, though, if we confess our sins, if we confess, if we're just honest, I am the man, there is cleansing. And I don't know how it was for John. What all did he experience in walking with Jesus? Did he sometimes confess things? Actually, we read one time that he confessed. He admitted. They came off the Mount Transfiguration. They had a dedication week, okay, we say. Things were going. We had, you know, things were well. They came down to real life. And they were hit with a situation where the other disciples couldn't cast out a demon out of a child. And we know the story. Jesus took care of him, cast him out. They came to the house and all along. From there, even to the way of the house, they were arguing among themselves who's the greatest. They even had an argument like that. So glad we never do that. But when they were in the house, and Jesus took a little child and gave him a little children's lesson. You want to be the greatest? Okay, you start down here. You go this direction for greatness. That's what he was teaching. It seemed that it did something to John's heart. Maybe that's when he was actually truly born again. I don't know. I don't know when, how that all happened, but it seemed that something must have softened some honesty. A moment of honesty and truthfulness came in John. He says, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name. We saw him. We forbade him. Be quiet. Because he doesn't follow us. He's not from Bethlehem. He's not from, okay, you can put any denomination you want to that think they're it. But he says that he doesn't follow us. We saw him. Be quiet. And Jesus said, let him go. Whoever's not against us is for us. Let him go. So I think that was one time where we read that John was just being honest, admitting this is what we've done, you know. And I think he learned to know the Savior in a real deep way. And that's my desire. That's been my prayer. And I'm blessed when I hear my children praying that they can be conformed to the image of Christ. If Jesus hears that from a sincere heart, he'll take you at your word. He'll take you on a journey. And he'll enroll us in the school of humility and the school of life. But it's worth being there. But anyhow, it's in verse 6, it says, if we say, in verse 8, if we say, verse 10, if we say, then in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, he that saith, verse 6, it says, he that saith, in verse 9, he that saith. So it's not in the saying, every one of these, there seems there's something connected with it that is challenged right away. That saying is challenged. There's a challenge right there, right with it. If verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Right there, we're proven guilty. Our works actually are proving if it's truly darkness or not. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the ongoing true fellowship with one another is if we are not walking in darkness. The word, I wish we don't have the whiteboard yet, but someone has well said, the half of life is the word if, L-I-F-E. If true life, there's an if involved with that. There's an if right in the center of it. Because there's a lot of ifs that we read this morning we'll go across. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if, this is the if we want, but if we walk, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a beautiful thing, to be cleansed from all sin. What do we need more than that, to be cleansed from all sin? How would you like to know, coming to the judgment seat one day and realize, thank the Lord, I have 89.9% of my sins cleansed. I got most of them cleansed. But the Lord really, he's not, I don't believe he has the heart that I'm trying to not cleanse. I just only want to cleanse just very grudgingly. He wants to cleanse us from all sin. He can. If we walk in the light with that, we have that promise. He'll cleanse us from all sin. And we also, the fringe benefit is that then we have fellowship one with another. We know in our own hearts if we are walking in victory, if we are cleansed, if we're free. And if we truly are, there's no inhibitions of fellowship with others. Our relationship with others can be free and open. And they are free and open. We're truly cleansed. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So there's deception in this. There's deception in saying we have fellowship and walking in darkness. There's deception in saying we have no sin. Now, that's probably more saying like that initially deep down in here from Adam, you know, I'm not so bad. And this just human nature. I've done it myself, and I know you probably struggle the same. You see something, someone else, and it's a pretty bad thing. You may even talk to them. You rebuke them, and you come against it. But when it's coming your way, then we minimize it. I've done it. We just need to be careful that we're not coming to this deception that if we say that we have no sin, when it's pointed that direction, it's sin, but it's coming here, it's false. It's maybe flat spots and all that. Let's not deceive ourselves. The best place, the safest place to be is just to quickly, yes, I'm the man. Even if it's not, maybe you think it's not fair. And I probably shared this before. I think I can just share it again. It's probably about 10, 11 years that Brother Denny Kennison, some of you might probably never met him. But he I watched him one time walking through some of this, some of my better memories, I remember him preaching some of those powerful messages and a lot of excitement and energy. But one of the best messages I heard when we were in Ghana years ago, he came for a missions conf or for what they call it, retreat or refreshment time. And he had a message on humility, the blessed state of humility. And he just preached it in a very low way. He was going through some things in his life, maybe family issues, and it just brought him down. I'm the man kind of approach came out. And I saw him one time, this was years before that, we were at the same place, some meetings were going on, and someone had just written a pretty scathing article about the churches, our type of churches, and it was being passed around in this magazine, and so I read it, and I knew the person well who wrote it, and he's actually related with me, and I had an argument in my mind if I meet him, I'd just tell him a thing or two, or how we could combat this accusation, it's not fair, and all that. And during our discussion one afternoon, Brother Denny came up, and he heard about it, and he said, I'd like to read that, and so he read it. The next morning, he brought it back and gave it back. So I expected, well, now we have a man of God that's got some powerful ammunition how to defend our cause. And, you know, maybe I can glean a bit from him how to go, if I ever meet my relative, and defend this. Apologetics, you know. And he just kind of, he just let out all the air out of my tires. I'm glad he did. But he just said, you know, I thank the Lord for things like this. He says, anything that I can learn, I can glean from that that brings humility, criticism, whatever it is, that I can learn, that I can grow. That's what it was. Anything that I can really grow, the Lord uses other people, that I can grow from, I thank the Lord for that. Okay, courtroom scene was over. I never forgot that. All the powerful messages he preached, but something that he actually did instead of saying, spoke to me, still speaks to me. But these things don't happen very easy. They don't. We're just wired to defend our cause and to maybe, if we have an issue with someone, someone almost be glad if they have a little carnal bent or something goes wrong. That's, the Bible calls that malice and ill will. And it's wrong because, like I'm saying, I'm preaching to myself. There's especially one situation, I battled this thing for years with a brother. I'll just be honest. And the Lord took me through some pretty hard spankings to cleanse me from that. And I have to deal with it. These are ongoing things that I have to catch myself, what are my thought processes during the day about situations that come up? Is it usually that they have sin issues, they're at fault, and I'm usually at the top of those mental conversations? Where are you at? Where am I at? But if we say that we have no sin, I think a lot of that can stem out of it. Maybe not always, but some of this, it's deceptive. Sin is very deceptive, and to think that we are right, to even think that we are in the truth. If we say that we have no sin, now I trust that we're not there in the deepest sense that we initially from Adam say, well, no, we're pretty good and all road leads home. They don't. The safest place to be is early in life, just admit before the Lord, for others, that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. But it doesn't just stop right there. It's not just for young people. It's for all of us. It's an ongoing way of life. It's a mindset. It's the mind of Christ, really. Didn't Jesus have that mind? If he went to the cross, says it would have been it would not been robber for him to say, I'm equal with God. I don't have to do this. But basically, being nailed like this on the cross, he was saying, he became sin for us. I am the man. That's what Jesus was saying. I am the man for your sake and mine. I am the man. Is there any deception in Jesus? Was there any deception in that? Not at all. Actually, it was just that very thing he did for us takes away, and we truly experience that and see that, we'll be free. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, if there's a big if again, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a beautiful verse. It's not, like I said, it's not just for a flippant, casual, careless attitude, but it's those that have admitted, yes, really, we are sinners, and we need help. We need the Lord. If we confess our sins, so even this morning, maybe there's someone here that's never done that, that truly just came before the Lord and admitted, Lord, I'm a sinner. Let me just assure you, God's word is true. He said he is faithful and just. He promised that he will do it. And to be just, he will keep his word. He will forgive, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, he says, if we say that we have not sinned. So now he goes from verse 8, he says, if we say we have no sin, there's no inherent sin in us. But now in verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, oh, that wasn't me, always trying to protect ourselves, our image, our reputation. If we have not sinned, we make him a liar. What does it say? Is it Romans 3, verse? Is it Romans 3 where it says that every mouth may be stopped. I sometimes get the idea that just the Lord would just like to. Have you ever done that with a child, maybe in church? It's real loud and just crying, and finally just put your hand over their mouth to just calm them down a bit. That's the picture I get of Jesus, of the Lord sometimes, just like to do that with all our self-defense, all our excuses, all our just... That's basically what the law came, was to just basically just finally say, shut up. I think that's what the law does. Now, we don't like to, we're not supposed to use that term in our house, but I think we can use it. I think the Lord has that right to do that. Be quiet. That every mouth may be stopped. That's really what needs to happen. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Because the Lord is saying, God is saying, you have sinned. Adam, Eve took from that fruit. We all have. Death has passed unto all men. We all have sinned. I think we all would acknowledge that. We all have sinned. Let's never come to the place, because we think, well, this is so elementary that we would never say that we've never sinned, but that you don't have to go out very far into society. And that thought is pretty prevalent, that no big deal. Truth is, what is truth anymore? And, well, I plan to sin. I'm going to sin tomorrow. We all sin. You know, we just confess our sin. We all sin. That's kind of the thought. And it's not, it's pretty close to home at times. Some of the teachings that are affecting us, are creeping in. But verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But then he continues, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. This thought process, this heart should be in us. It's just taken for granted. I think John is taking for granted that these people, his dear children here in the spirit, will just have that heart to not sin. And everyone that is truly born of God, that is there. I don't want to sin. I don't want to hurt my Heavenly Father, he that died for me. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man, but in spite of all of that, I don't know, is there anyone here since they became a Christian, remember truly when they were repentant, that didn't sin ever since then? After they were converted? Can you honestly say, I never sinned after that? So we're glad for this verse, aren't we? If any man sin, we have an advocate. And that's the same word as the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paracletos. We have someone that's interceding, that's pleading my cause. He's interceding, you know, says, let's not take what Jesus is doing on an ongoing basis, interceding for us at the right hand of God. It's so important that we appreciate that, realizing that's that constant, my blood for that one, my blood for that sin again. He has repented. I don't know how he does that with the Father. But that's, if it wouldn't be for him interceding for us on an ongoing basis, we'd be in a pretty bad shape. Even though we could boast, we could attest to a wonderful deliverance way back then. What about when you just had a little sharp word with your wife or your children, or maybe that person that just cut you off in traffic? If any man sin, we have an advocate. Thank you, Lord, for that. We have a paraclete. We have the paracletos, that has the idea of a comforter coming alongside. You can do it. It's an encouraging, it's a positive. Let's keep going. Let's not, we mess up, we go down into despair and maybe self-condemnation, a lot of just guilt. You don't have to stay there. This comforter comes alongside if we confess our sins and just let's get up, let's go again. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Let's not stay down there. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He's pleading, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the only one that can do that, that is qualified to do that. And he is the propitiation for our sins. That simply means the atonement. He became the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And it's so sad. An unused resource. You have some unused resource that you know could save many people's lives. Maybe there's a cure for cancer But it's, let's say it's just been hidden somewhere in a laboratory for years and years. It's just hidden away, unused. Wouldn't we feel very slighted? Wouldn't we feel just how sad that so many people have suffered? And that could have been their healing, could have been their deliverance from cancer. But this is the reality for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You ever hear this from someone? Well, I've sinned so much, there's no hope for me. Just assure them, here's a verse you can go to. No, it's for the sins of the whole world. You have Jesus Christ the righteous. He's pleading for you. He's just wanting you to come. Confess your sins. Just say, confess that you're a sinner and you need him. He's the propitiation. He's atonement. And the word atone, you just split that apart, it's just simply at one. Something that's apart, two parties apart, they become at one again. That's the work of Jesus. That's the work of the cross. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us. We're at one, the work of atonement. And I think we'll see as we keep going here, that also happens in a greater sense in our relationships. He talks about hating a brother. If we truly have received the atonement, that's an ongoing worked out. We cannot say, we'll come to that yet. Verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I think I'll just read some of this, then we'll have a couple of scriptures here. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Here's that saying again versus the doing. And the truth is not in him, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. This should bring such a comfort to our hearts. If we know that our heart is to follow Jesus with all our hearts, and we want to obey him, we want to do what he wills us to do, not just knowing up here and profess it, I love you, Lord Jesus. And Jesus asked him one time, he was preaching one day, he says, why call ye me Lord, 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 and do not the things that I say? He's that master. He's like we heard this morning. He's the one that can tell us what to do, what to think. And it's not a negative or just an angry master, just, you know, go do this. He's out for our good, actually. The things he tells us to do are actually for our benefit, that we can prosper. Verse 6, he that saith, here's the saying again, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If every one of us would memorize that, ingrain that in our depth of our heart, and actually live it out, we'd have Christianity. I trust that is happening, but I just encourage us all to press into that very principle. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. That means the lifestyle. Doesn't just mean, well, we can't do it. We didn't see how Jesus, what his gait was. No, it was his lifestyle. His lifestyle. The choices he made. I always do the will of my Father, like we heard this morning. Can you honestly say that's what you always do? Can I say that? I trust that's our heart. That's the bent of our heart. To always do the will of our Father in heaven. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Verse 8, it says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. We don't have many, but here's a little shadow. There's light coming in. I kind of look at it as the old commandment is like we have what they had in the law, what was written there. And the Hebrew says the law was a shadow of things to come. It was just a shadow. The old commandment. But so now the new is here. So when Jesus came on the scene, the new is here. So if I live in the shadow, I can be protected from it, from some wind and especially from sunshine in the shadow. Shadow can be a blessing. But if I keep walking, I walk in the shadow, and just even if I close my eyes and keep right on walking, what's going to happen? I'll find the real thing. And that's when Jesus came, he was the real thing. He was actually it. What they had known up to that point was just shadow, really, in a lot of ways, in the principle. They knew the shadow. But now, John is saying, we touched him, we saw him, we handled him, we heard him. I laid my head on his breast. We are beyond the shadow. Now the new commandment I write unto you. What is this new commandment? Which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Okay. Why doesn't... someone read, Brother Sil, will you read Matthew 5, verse 19? Or maybe you just quote that. Matthew 5, 19. Thank you. So there we see the blessing is actually not only in just teaching, but in the doing. The do and the do always precedes the teaching. Someone read Acts, maybe Joe and I, you want to read Acts 1, verse 1 to 3, first chapter of Acts, 1 to 3. Okay, thank you. There also, which came first, of the testimony of Jesus? Was he teaching or doing? All that Jesus began both to do and teach. And he mentioned something there about he gave commandments unto them. Maybe especially just before he was ascended back to the Father. But what Brother Sill also read there about... the blessings on those that do. And right there, that was the foundation of Jesus' teaching, where he started the Sermon on the Mount. And he was just got done going through the Beatitudes and so forth, but he is just on the verge. The very next thing he talks about after that is about a commandment, something that I guess we could say you bumped into the real thing. It seemed the law gave you a little bit of allowance sometimes to... you could, someone takes your, knocks your tooth out. You have the law on your side. You could take his out too. Basically, just let the flesh prevail a bit, just to make you feel a little bit better. Get revenge. Do you think sometimes we live a little bit in the law yet? Sometimes. But what Jesus came, he actually, we sometimes hear he came to just lift up a higher standard. It's rightly so, but really it's a real thing. It's no longer a shadow. Right now, we have the real thing. That's what he's saying, the new commandment. Because the very next thing he starts talking about, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt... What does it say, Timo? Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. That was the shadow. But now, you're right up against what causes the shadow. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So now we're down to some very heart-searching reality here. How we view our brother. We keep reading here some of the last verses we read about this morning in verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. No more shadows. The true light now shineth. What is the reality here? It seems this is kind of where it's all been leading up to. The saying versus the doing. The cleansing versus not being cleansed. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And I'll just testify to this. There's deception. Testify my own life. Time I went through, really just couldn't stomach some people. Just sometimes you hear the term, just tick me off. That's wrong for a Christian. Just that is really wrong. If we say we're in the light and there's someone you just can't, I just can't stomach them. I just can't, they just rub me the wrong way. And it's kind of gleeful, almost happy if they, something goes ill for them. That's in darkness. There's deception that. He that hateth his brother. How can you really see what you're doing if you're in darkness? Last night, one of our cows, Timo's cow, had a calf the other day, and she's not seeming doing so well. And so he went out to look for the little calf. Thought she's going to need some supplement on milk replacer. But he was walking around in darkness and couldn't find it. So he came in for the light. Once the light came on the scene, then things were taken care of. So let's not deceive ourselves. If we have unresolved issues with people that are pretty deep, let's not deceive ourselves to act like we're in dark. I mean, we're walking in the light, that we are. That goes back to the, if we say we have not sinned, if we say, it's all back to the, if we say, and we're in the area of deception. It's very clear here. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. This is something that goes beyond feeling. It's not about feeling. It's just about making a choice. I'm going to love regardless. I'm going to love unconditionally. We heard that, I think, the other week. One of the brothers up here one evening. Loving unconditionally. He knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And that's the ultimate deception. Okay. Someone also, Brother Wayne, do you want to read Matthew 23, verse 1 through 6? Here's what Jesus had to say about some people, about the Pharisees. Thank you. Did it say there, for they say and do not? But then there are some things they do, but the things they do is just to protect their, embellish their position and status, basically it was. He says, do what they say. If they're preaching, if they're unroll that scroll from Isaiah, whatever the word of God, do that, but don't do after their example. He had some very strong words for people like that. And in Mark chapter 2, I always find this kind of amazing. It's the account where Jesus was preaching one day at a house. It said it was just packed with people. There's no room. There's hardly any room. I just vision of just a crowd of people just standing there. And they couldn't even bring a sick person in. It was so tightly packed, shoulder to shoulder, we could say. One place it says that one crowd one time, wasn't this instance, they trod one upon another. So many people, they're just like walking on each other. But here they're just packed together. They couldn't find room to bring him in, so they brought him in from the roof, as we know the story. But it hit me here a while ago. Standing room only, but it says that certain scribes and other leaders were sitting there. They had room to sit. And that's so much a picture of religion. When they're standing room only, people listening says they were sitting there and reasoning. And you do some thinking about that. When there's, they always demanded their room to sit. They sit in Moses' seat. Sometimes when I have these thought processes, I'll just be honest. I just had some again recently about a mental, I'll call it an argument with someone. You know why I usually end up sitting in Moses' seat, reasoning, because that's what we were doing with Jesus, and reasoning in their hearts. And it says Jesus, he perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning. It says, why are you reasoning your heart? Is it just to prove, Jesus giving them a lesson here, to prove that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. He said, rise up and walk. But one thing I see, when I'm in that position, when I'm not really close with Christ, when I'm in the critical, I'd say, that seat comes, a lot of criticism comes from that seat. It does, a lot of reasoning. When I'm there, I can criticize, I can watch, but I can't heal. They have no power. That's one, the big thing, the big difference between Christ and the followers, true followers of Christ. There's an unction, there's an open, there's the extension of Jesus. And I see this even today. There's people that quietly keep doing the work of the Lord in spite of criticism or not. They keep right on ministering to people, helping people. Others on the sidelines always have a reasoning here, a criticism here and there. Brothers, let's guard ourselves from that. Let's not go that route. Don't allow me to go that. You'd be good, be well if you just check on me. How were your mental arguments this week? Just ask that sometimes. That'll keep me in check. That'll help. I need that. And I want the Holy Spirit, first of all. But I need my brothers to help with that. We are just, it's just a tendency, with especially in a community like this with all the different churches, to watch one another, watch that church, watch that group. And you know the danger. You know where we need not go. It's kind of, I try to help my children at times with this, our family, myself. Like when someone just kind of messes up a bit, we don't have to broadcast it. Someone backs their van into someplace. Hey, look what happened. See what happened. Tell quick, make sure everyone else knows. I've seen that happen. That's not, it's that spirit of sitting there and reasoning. It's a Moses seat that we don't need to be there. Maybe you can't relate, identify with this stuff at all. It's just, I'm just sharing some of the struggles I've been through. I've been there. I've noticed this principle in the one place we lived, and dear people, that small group, and we had a lot of work days, really enjoyed them. But it's just so enlightening to watch some of those times. There's sometimes some people come quietly. They do the bulk of the work. Others come and do the bulk of the saying. But not so much sweat. And I think that's maybe often how it is in the house of God. There's a the gifts are different also. I'll acknowledge that. God has given different gifts and all that, but we have a tendency to want to, and I heard this being quoted one time, of a person actually saying, I like to come up with ideas and have people do them. Well, that might work depending what realm you're in, but in the house of God, it's probably not going to work so good. I like to give the orders and watch things happen. Now, if you have a business, that's one thing, a father in the home. But we're asked to actually lead by example. Jesus was the perfect example. He had disciples walk with him day after day. Maybe listen, yes, but especially watching the doing. The doing. Anyhow. James, I want you to look in the book of James. You have your Bible. You have the right name. One way to combat this deception is by, I think, a well-known scripture. But you read James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Does it go on and say, like, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Does it say the work? I think it does. So actually, it's okay to have some good works. Doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed, in his doing. Thank you. So combat this deception is, be doers, quietly, just doing the work, loving others and blessing others. Now, I just want to encourage us. You know, a lot of us come from situations, sometimes walking through some difficult times, and we might have rubbed some sandpaper on each other a little bit, you know. Let's just make sure that as much as lieth in you, have peace with all men. I know sometimes, even it lies within you, it doesn't lie within them. That's reality is also there. But that we have no ill will towards people, and yeah. Actually, we have opportunity. Speak a good word for them, actually. Do that. Let's be sayers versus the doers. Let's be the doers versus the sayers. In Acts 11, they were first called Christians where? Antioch. And it says, just preceding that, those that were scattered about the persecution went everywhere and preached, and it says many believed in Antioch. Many believed. Well, that's kind of the goal for a lot of crusades and revival meetings. Get people to believe. Let's just get them to believe. Well, that is very important, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says when the news of what happened came to Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas down there. And it says, when he came, what did he hear? Did he hear things? It says he saw. He saw the grace of God. There's things that actually had changed. They were doing things. There's things that drastically changed their lives. They were doing things. He saw something that the grace of God had affected them to the extent that he was. It wasn't just something about hearing them, but it was actually, they were doers. I believe they were doers. And it says, in that context, they were called Christians first at Antioch, hinging on the doing. So, anyhow, yeah, keep me in your prayers, and keep me challenged about my, when I just read that this morning and last night, this morning, just realized that the scribes and Pharisees and Brother Elson sit in Moses' seat too many times. So I don't want to be there. Because I know when I'm in a critical realm, I really don't have much power and no desire really to help a lot of people. Because I'm focusing on where they're wrong. But I don't want to be there. So let's pray for each other. Lord bless you.